good morning. So it was no surprise, but it's still significant. The Senate Finance Committee passed their $829 billion 10-year health care plan, and it is a major victory for the Obama administration. And as a nation, this is the closest we have been to any kind of health care reform for decades. Still, lots of Americans have questions. That's no surprise. This is from Takeaway listener Omna from New Jersey.
My name is Omna. I'm calling from New Jersey. I'm still quite angry that a public option was not included in the Baucus bill. I do hope it's included in the final bill, although I'm not sure exactly how that's going to be at this point. In all honesty, if public option is not included in the final bill, I don't think it should be called or even considered health care reform.
So for all of your questions, we have a couple guys ready to answer them. We've got Henry Aaron. He's a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. Good morning. And also David Herzenhorn, congressional correspondent for The New York Times, rejoins us. So let's start with the public option, because I imagine that's the question of a lot of Americans this morning. It's not in the Max Baucus bill that passed out of the Senate Finance Committee. But David, what are the chances that we're going to see some form of public option in the final bill that goes to President Obama?
They're pretty good. The question is, how do you define a public option? The House and the Democrats in the House seem intent on passing their bill with a public option in it. Obviously, Senate Democrats are divided. And, you know, my guess is that what you'll see is some sort of compromise, maybe along the lines of what Olympia Snowe, the one Republican on the Finance Committee who voted for the bill yesterday, has proposed, which is basically letting a public option be triggered in any state where there, you know, not enough people can afford insurance after this bill becomes law.
So, Henry Aaron, you're a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. As I mentioned earlier, there's lots of versions of this bill. It's not just the Baucus bill. There's another one that came out of another Senate committee, and then there's three bills that came out of three separate House committees. So give me civics 101 here. What happens to the health care reform now?
Well, the true answer is God only knows. The first step is that the two Senate bills have to be combined, and then there will be a floor debate, amendments, and a vote within the Senate. The question is whether the product can command 60 votes, which would require the Democrats to stay almost completely united, assuming that Olympia Snowe continues to support the bill. Whether she would, if there was any variety of a public option other than the one that David just outlined, is doubtful, which would mean the Democrats have to stay united. Then the House will blend the three really quite similar bills that have passed different House committees. That will be comparatively easy, in my judgment. The Democrats have a quite large majority, and that bill will be, in many respects, more liberal than the Senate bill, probably a bit larger. Certainly it will include a public option. The way it's paid for will probably be different from the Senate bill. Then comes the next real big hurdle, and I think it's a huge hurdle. The two houses have to conference and agree, members of each house have to agree on how to blend those two bills. At that point, that's going to be a major challenge because, for example, the House Democrats don't like the way the Senate proposes to pay for the bill, and the senators don't like the way the House has proposed to pay for it. So getting an agreement is going to be hard. Next, that has to go back to each House to be passed. And once again, the big question then would be whether the bill could pass the Senate. So I think the chances of final legislation are far from sure. As David said, this is certainly the best opportunity we've had in living memory, but it's not something you want to bet your child's college tuition on.
So, David, take a listen to this question. It's from Barbara from Oklahoma.
My husband has knee infection. He has MRSA. I think we're talking about trying to look at some ways to save some money on Medicare. Now, don't mistake, I am thankful we have Medicare because it would have been extremely difficult for us to take care of his medicine and everything. But I think the amount of extra money they spend could be spent on helping some other people.
So that's Barbara willing to give up a little bit of her Medicare money. Was there anything in the Senate Finance Committee that dealt with Medicare?
There's tons, and actually, you know, it sounds like what she's afraid of is that Medicare is going to be cut, and this is like the public option. You know, it's one of these things that nobody fully understands, right? The logic here is that Medicare spending is growing way out of control, right? If you consider the fact that as a country we spend $500 billion a year on Medicare right now to cover 45 million people, the health care bill that Congress is talking about would spend about $90 billion a year to cover, you know, somewhere in the range of 30 million people. So there's tons of spending on Medicare. What the experts tell us is that, in fact, there's less spending on Medicare for the same type of person with the same type of medical needs in different parts of the country. And if you ask the person in Oklahoma with the knee problem, you know, do you realize that the same treatment that you're getting here is costing, you know, the government 75% of what it's costing, you know, in Georgia, say, or Florida? They'd probably say no, had no idea, right? It's a question of figuring out how to get, you know, efficiencies in the large amount of spending that's going on now. So there's a ton in this bill about Medicare, and something has to be done about Medicare one way or another, because the main trust fund that pays for it, all the experts say, is going broke.
Okay, so it sounds to me like the Senate Finance Committee, the passing of this particular bill, didn't answer a lot of our questions about health care. But here's another one. This is from another one of our listeners.
This is Steve in Massachusetts. Whatever happened to the idea of letting insurance companies sell across state lines? It seems like a no-brainer for creating competition.
Henry, what's the answer to that question?
The answer to that is that there are grave questions about what the impact of that kind of a change would be. The reason is that what insurance companies are allowed to call an acceptable insurance policy is defined in state legislatures, which have been rather prone to lobbying. And there is a concern that particular states would find it in their financial interest to write the requirements so low that insurance companies would flock to their states and then sell in the rest of the United States. So there's been a lot of resistance to that, unless the federal government, through legislation, writes national standards that insurance companies would have to meet in order to sell at all.
And Henry, this bill does that, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, here's a question: as we're seeing all of these new ads that the insurance companies have put on, saying that this is going to raise the premiums for everybody else in the country who already has insurance. From what I understand from the bill that got passed yesterday in the Senate Finance Committee, for somebody like me who has insurance through my work, I can keep that. I'm not going to see any changes, right?
Let me back up a step. I believe the current bill authorizes in some cases, the state exchanges to define what is an acceptable policy, and that could be a risky outcome. The idea here, yes, is that people should be able to keep their own insurance. I would think the vast majority of people would see no change at all if this legislation passes, because they would continue to be insured through their place of employment. And the employer would retain the policy that they've previously had. In some situations, the employers might choose to suspend their insurance policy and pay a penalty that the bill imposes on them. But for the great majority of Americans who are insured through work, I think things would be pretty much as they are.
Okay, so David, with this, the insurance company saying the premiums are going to go sky high, what's the truth to that? If this bill passes, my insurance is probably not going to change, most likely, but is my premium that gets taken out of my paycheck every week, is that going to go up?
There's no question it's going to go up, but not necessarily because of this legislation. The federal government, for instance, announced just a week or so ago that premiums for federal government employees are going to go up an average of 8.8% next year. And for the most popular Blue Cross national plan, it'll be up 15% for individuals and 12% for families, right? So we know where prices of premiums are going if there's no law. What we don't know is, you know, how fast that increase will continue. The supporters of this bill say, you know, there's stuff in here that could actually slow that growth pretty fast. The Congressional Budget Office, who we trust to do all the analyzing and count up all the beans here, says, you know what, we just can't really tell you for sure because there are so many variations in, you know, each individual person's circumstance.
So it sounds, David, like the takeaway here is that we have lots of questions to which we don't have definitive answers, and we're not going to know the answers for a long time. David Herzenhorn is a congressional correspondent for The New York Times. He also spoke with Henry Aaron, senior fellow at the Brookings Institute.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.